Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? This is your boy, Leader Johnson, the Follow Your Sports Podcast, man. We are here to talk. So it's going to be a draft talk, some prospect talk, a lot of things that need to be said according to the game of basketball and the NBA draft. This has to be broke down. This has to be done. So I'm going to start first by talking about just a couple of recruiting things to get to that first. First, we're going to go to Kamanga, who I feel, now with the NBA G League thing all in the process, Kamanga could easily be snatched up with $500,000. Chet Holmgren could easily be snatched up with $500,000. Look at Patrick Baldwin. He could receive a contract. But right now, if you're looking at it, it's, you look at Baldwin, he's just really, I don't think nothing takes him away from Duke. And I don't think nothing takes Baldwin and Kamanga both away. Both guys can play the three and the four. You look at Texas, you look at Auburn. Auburn's been on him hard. He likes Auburn. He likes Florida State. And Kentucky's there. It's just a real big toss-up. He's the number one guy, and he's probably weighing so many options. I'm pretty sure overseas is coming with their figures, and it all looks good. But right now, Kamanga, I think he's G League. I know. But when you look at the number one prospect, what does the school have to offer him if the G League come with $500,000? Seriously, what they got to offer? Chet Holmgren, looking at exactly what type of guy he is, a 7 foot, what he can do, pass, shoot, the things he can do at the center position. And some people are like, oh, he'll be a power forward. It's possible. But I just don't, in this NBA, in the positionless NBA, and looking at it right now, Minnesota just has such a good rap on them, but Duke and all of them, they're all coming. But I just think Holmgren goes to G League. At 7 foot, they're going to throw the figures at this guy. He can shoot the three, he can block, he can pass, he can do a lot of things. He just need weight. At 190, that's too skinny. At least get 220, boom, boom, this and that. That's why people think power forward, which could happen. It's not. But I just think that in this position, this league, by that time, he'll have enough weight. It's like Bobo. He'll have enough weight to compete with the centers, especially in this positionless league. Now, you go against guys like Embiid, not many guys can mess with him anyway, so we're going to get out of that. No center can mess with him. You go against guys like Anthony Davis, a little different. You got the length. You go against other guys. Towns is one guy, but I just think that Embiid is the one center that you don't want to go against. I think everybody else, his skill set can kind of match it. But Embiid, when he plays top-level ball, you just can't stop him. He's just one unstoppable center when he plays high-level. Everybody else at their peak, Embiid's the best as far as centers. Patrick Baldwin, Duke, I just go with that. He can definitely get that contract. If Isaiah Todd got that contract and Deshaun Nix, just watch out. But the only guy I feel could leave right now is Kamanga. I think Chet Holmgren was looking, I think he wants to stay home. But still, it's going to be other guys coming for him. Banchero, he's looking like a home guy. I just think home right now is there, but we're looking at Kentucky, and that's a tug of war. They're right there. There's no clear runaway. Looking at Chet, that's something big. See, Chet Gonzaga's going to come in hard because they got Jalen Suggs. So they're going to come in hard. Homeboys is going to come real hard. Look for Gonzaga. I like Minnesota, but just look for Gonzaga. Having Jalen Suggs, his partner, they're going to go for that. It's always the key thing to do. Banchero, like I say, Washington is a hometown team that's really there. But Kentucky, I just really see at the end of the tunnel that Kentucky could be their school to take them. I think Kentucky could be their school to take them. Jabari Smith, where do you go in his recruitment? You look at so many guys, and he's one of the top five guys there. Kentucky, everybody's looking at him. Duke is starting to make. If Duke offers, watch out. Excuse me, playing the audio right there of a highlight. If Duke offers, he's out of here. I just think he's there. I think he's making that move to go to Duke. And I think Duke is going to make an offer real soon to... get a Jabari. You know they like them top five guys. Duke has not offered yet. Kentucky ain't offered. So them two cats, you want to definitely look for them two dudes to definitely do some damage around there. LSU is a school that's going to recruit. Florida State always recruit. So we got to look, watch out for these type of guys in this process. But right now, if I had to say who really has the upper hand and a guy, you would just have to say Georgia. I mean, I've been listening. I know Auburn's in there. I know Duke is in there. Kentucky and Georgia. Those are the guys that are in there. Alabama certainly is recruiting. They're trying their best. But I just feel like the best, looking at and talking to people around Jabari Smith, I mean, he likes Duke. And Georgia is, I mean, that's his hometown. And you look at how Anthony Edwards came there. They have a momentum going. They could give him the same type of, give him the ball like Anthony Edwards did. So watch out for Georgia. And that realm, he likes Georgia. Coming through and looking at so many other prospects, I want to talk about the Duke situation, which is kind of critical. Everybody wants to know what Duke is about, what they're going to do, how they're going to recruit. Duke is always looking for a super class. We all know this. Everybody should know this coming into talking about Duke. Baldwin and Banchero are two guys that are there, but I just look at him as Kentucky. AJ Griffin's already there. You're looking at Max Christie, could he go? And Kennedy Chandler. Those are the top five. Your point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, you know. You can bring Baldwin and Griffin in, and you can put Banchero at center, I guess. I mean, you could do it like that, like you did Robinson Earl. But looking at these guys, Banchero and Christie, I think Christie is Villanova, no question. Looking at Kuminga could definitely be snatched if Banchero leaves. But I think he's a it's no question, in my opinion, that Kuminga is out of here. I just think that number one guy, I'm always going to feel like that. Jabari Smith, I got to look at. Shaquille O'Neal. This is a developing thing at 6'5", 170, a three-star shooting guard. Shaquille O'Neal is. He's one of the top 175 players out there, one of the top 30 shooting guards. In Georgia, he's one of the top 14 prospects. Just look out in that one. Just to see how that develops. He has to, you know, the level, the bar has to be raised a little high. But Jabari Smith is definitely a guy I see them going after. 6'10", 2'10". They've been really hot after him, and I can really just watch out for that. Charles Bendiako, he's a center. Another guy I could see Duke going after. And you're talking about shooting guards and who can play that. You look at A.J. Griffin, who can play down there. If they don't get Max Christie, which is going to be a tug-of-war between them and Villanova, I can definitely see them making a move, making a clear-cut move. I still think Shaquille O'Neal could still go to Duke. They're looking at him. They're scouting Shaquille O'Neal. He's long. I could see him going there. He's not going to be a one-and-done guy. So where you want to go? Where do you want to spend your time at? Sharif O'Neal kind of paved his way, being a five-star, period. So, and Shaquille O'Neal now, he's a very, very talented prospect. But, you know, like I said, a lot of guys better than him right now. And but I still would see Duke at his name and who he is, you know, giving them an offer. Once the class has evolved, once the class has, you know, evolved. So watch out for that. And like I said, Duke is going after a lot of players. You look at Patrick Baldwin. If they lose out on Christie, which I say, listen, Christie was the shooting guard. And, you know, he's number 12 in the nation. The number one shooting guard in the nation. I could see Villanova getting him. And if you look at A.J. Griffin, you're talking about a guy like 6'7" that can play that shooting guard position next to a Kennedy Chandler, who I think Duke could get. And then you're talking about Baldwin, and you're talking about Jabari Smith, and you're talking about Bidiako, and you're talking about another guy, and then you're talking about Shaquille O'Neal, who they could secure regardless. So that's in the trenches there, but they're making, you know, strides at Christian. But Nova is on his tail hard. And when Nova comes, eventually something's going to, you know, something's about to break out. They visited him in September. Krzyzewski did, you know. Illinois is after him, of course. So this is going to be kind of something to look at when you're talking about the best shooting guard in the nation. This is going to be real. I mean, Duke can definitely get him. I'm not saying they can't, but I just think Villanova's in that right now. We talk about Kentucky, and you want to talk about a team, a 2021. Now right now, Duke has Griffin, which was huge to get. I think that was real huge to get. I mean, this is not a commit. That's a high-profile commit. A high-profile commit. So you look at Kentucky now, I think Banchero, they get him. I think Kuminga could go to Duke. Jaden Hardy's definitely a guy I think Kentucky has. Mo Sasis is a real good prospect who I think will be that next guy at power forward at Kentucky. You know, they're talking about earlier, I think it's Kentucky. You know, I think Kentucky will get those guys. Those, you know, look out for Efton Reed, another 5-star that could go toward, you know, Kentucky could go for. The Abate, another guy out of IMG Academy. Just it's so early right now. Kapnang, I mean, it's so early. They can make a run. Nobody's, I mean, it's a lot of good players that are after, and they're in a position to, the guy I just named, they're in a position to get. Just who they decide to go after the most right now. Banchero is their guy. I think they want him to. I think they want Banchero to be their first guy to lead this class. I think they're so hard on Banchero. I just think he becomes a Kentucky. You look at Washington. I think Kentucky gets him. I think Kentucky gets him. Now, when you look at certain guys like Michael Foster, Georgia just seems like the best. They're in the run. They're doing their thing. But you have to watch out. You got guys after him. Arkansas's after him. Florida State's after him real hard. So you're going to see a lot. I mean, of course, Arizona State is trying to make their climb. They did a great job. Listen, watch out for Arizona State. Watch out for Baylor's recruiting them good. But I just think right now Georgia's making of course they're doing good. They're doing great at recruiting them. But I just think Arizona State and Florida State are really, really on their tail. You got to watch out. Really on the tail right there. So we're going to see how it goes. Right now Georgia, you give it to Georgia, but watch out for Arizona State and Florida State. Just watch out for those two. Nathan Beidle at Oregon right now, that's just it. I don't think he goes nowhere. I think there are people trying to come at him and get him because he's a very good prospect, but I just don't think Gonzaga is somebody to watch. I think it's the only – Arizona's going to make the creep. I think Gonzaga's doing a great job. But just a real good, real, real, real good player. And that player there, Kendall Brown, I talked to him. Pretty good player. I think Kansas gets him. Arkansas is coming, but I think Kansas gets him right now. Just seeing his the in-state, I think they just did a great job for a long time with him. And he had to visit on October. And I just think that guy goes to Kansas, but Arkansas is right there. I mean, Arkansas is there. Harrison Ingram, Arkansas is a school to watch out for. If you want to talk about schools, let's talk about Arkansas. I think Arkansas is a school. Arkansas and Louisville, but Arkansas is a school to watch out for Harrison Ingram. I'm just... Just keep your eyes open when it comes to Harrison Ingram. I think he could go to Arkansas. Trevor Keels. No question, that's Virginia to me. Aminu Muhammad, number one player in DC. Don't count out Maryland. I'm rocking with Maryland right now. I just see a lot of noise with him. He loves the home state. Louisville is still there, but Maryland, I just think Maryland gets him. I think Maryland keeps him where he is in that whole regard. Let's see how Louisville keeps it, but I think Maryland gets him. Efton Reed, that's a big, like, where do you go? There's so many guys involved with him. Virginia is not out of the running for Efton Reed. And Louisville is right there. And he loves Georgetown. To me, those are schools, but you got to watch out for Duke and Kentucky for their guy. They like him. Kansas is another team looking at him. I mean, the big schools, Ohio State is a school that's, you know, I mean, these are good program. Well, Ohio State's a good program, and I mean, I know he likes them, but that's why schools not playing was hard for them not to play. It was hard for them not to play. Now, all right. Now, when I come back, man, we're going to get more file leader stuff going. I just want to give y'all a couple of things on recruiting, just a couple of schools. And we're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to come back and do some NBA draft work. File leader. We are back, y'all. File Leader Sports Podcast, and we are here to talk some NBA draft talk now. I love getting fresh off of Twitter and going through something, man, with a follower and he talking to me about prospects now. RJ Hampton, I just got a problem a little bit. And I understand why the judging happened. I just don't understand why he's falling so far off. You look at so many Tyrese Halliburton. You rate him over RJ. RJ went to go play overseas with grown men, people who have played in the NBA. Halliburton played at Iowa State. And it's no way coming out of high, nowhere in his basketball career was he better than RJ. Do I say pure point guard? Yeah, I mean we can actually go there. Tyrese Halliburton, 6.5 assists, 5.9 rebounds, 15.2 points a game, all right? Now, we're talking about where he's playing. Right? What did he shoot? We all know he shot 41% from three. That's great. 50% from the field. That is always a big thing. It's always big to see Tyrese Halliburton and how he plays. And his stats, right? But we're looking at, you know, Iowa State. We look at what type of team he played with. And we look at where they was going. We look at where RJ played. I just think it's just not a comparison. When you're coming out of high school and you're an elite prospect, and everybody knows, they watch the games, they know when he started, when he impacted, when he got enough time, how much time he got the ball. If all the scouts saw this, and now you're trying to say, okay, well, since Tyrese Halliburton performed, it's like you're punishing him for going to play in the league and just, you know, following. I mean, I just feel like if he would have been with Alora, Georgia, UNC, Kansas, Memphis, he would have been, nobody would have took him out of the top five. RJ is the best scorer. If you're looking at this score, I think Anthony Edwards is a great scorer. But I think if you're looking at RJ, Anthony Edwards is never going to be asked to play point guard. He's never going to be asked to play point guard. He could always be a killer. RJ was given, he has to be a guy that brings the ball up. You know, if you let RJ be Anthony Edwards, then he's something different. He's a killer. He can score. Then he can focus on finding people when he finds people, rebounding, playing defense. Everybody's looking at him more as a point guard when he's going to distribute, and that's what he's trying to learn. He's trying to learn how to be a point guard, and he had to learn at the pro level. Even where Jalen Green is going, it's not going to be the same way. Like, Jalen Green not going overseas, guys that got that, you're going to G League to where guys need work. More guys need work than guys that are ready in the G League. So I don't see nobody stopping a Jalen or Isaiah Tide right now, because you still got guys that were just playing in the college last year. You go to the overseas, you got guys that got wear and tear, they've been in playoffs, they've been in great play. I mean, those guys, it's the same thing. You got talent and they play. He has to play against those type of guys. RJ had to play against veterans. LaMelo got the ball to display, even when he was shooting terrible. I mean, let's just get it. We're talking about, you want to talk about LaMelo Ball and what he did his year at LaMelo Ball. Shot 37% from the field and 25% from three-point line. He played 31 minutes. RJ played 20. Let's put that out there. So we're looking at the number one prospect. Yes, he can pass. He's tall for a point guard. He can shoot. He can score. But if RJ's play put him to 16, why is LaMelo at number one? Because he was 17 points a game. He played 31 minutes. He was able to attempt 16.7 shots. Every time RJ played LaMelo, he put him in his place. Every time. It's just, you have to look at what these guys, what you know they can do and what they are able to do. That's what you have to look at, not what happened, what they were able to do. You look at my top three guys, and I'm going to say it here about NBA draft picks right now. I'm going to talk. Let's talk. You want to talk? Let's talk. My number one guy in the draft is Cole Anthony. That's it. Period. I don't think, how in the entire hell did Anthony Edwards and everybody, like, if you look at it now, you see Cole Anthony falling, right? And it's real funny to me, because to see Cole Anthony at 13 is the funniest thing of all time. It's the NBA draft room. But that's not the only place he falls. He just don't fall in that place. I mean, if you want to talk about, let's really talk NBA mock draft. Now, I'm in all NBA draft room. It's my guy, Mike Draft Room. He do his thing. But it's funny to me. We have our disagreements. It is what it is. That's my guy, though. We want to talk mock drafts, right? Let's talk about that for a minute. Before I make my prediction, let's talk about that for a minute. On draft.net, okay, Cole Anthony is number 11, and RJ Hampton is 17. I'm just talking, let me spit this to everybody real clearly. I mean, this is just something, okay, we're going to come to other guys who I have to respect. Draft site's been doing anything for a minute, okay? And Cole Anthony's 9, okay. RJ Hampton's 11. That's a little bit better with the way draft site does it. And we're just going through guys that have mock drafts, right? We want to talk about NBC. Just talk NBC. And NBC Sports. Really respect NBC Sports. My guys. Everybody has their opinions, right? We're going to keep rolling. And when you talk about RJ now, it's crazy. LaMelo's number two, right? But you talk about RJ Hampton. You talk about Cole Anthony. Two guys who have accomplished everything you can accomplish. Can be, I mean, when you talk about dominant guys, it's dominant you're going to get. But people like Tyrese Maxey is over him. Now, RJ's 11 with NBC. They're 11 with NBC. Now, that's a good rating. I say 7, but when you start putting him in the teens, that's a little unbelievably crazy. And Cole's at 8. You know what I mean? You got to put him, if you're going to do anything to drop, I say don't drop RJ no lower than 7 if you're second guessing, because there's some good guys there. You know? Some good guys. When we talk about Wiseman, my boy Wiseman, his last mock, like we got Edwards, you got Wiseman. They got Ball, of course, at 3. So we start looking at some guys. And this is the real trusted, real smart guy. But to put Cole's at 10. And then we're looking at late lottery, and RJ's at 12. Now, he keeps him in the lottery. But guys like Killian Hayes is better than RJ. And Cole. Dini Avdija. Better than RJ. Isaac Okoro. I mean, these are good players, but they're better than RJ and Cole? Seriously? I go Obi Toppin. I rock with Obi Toppin. I will not. Now, Yeke Nkongwu, come on. Not a better prospect. Neither is Haliburton. Ball's close. On, you know, got to give him his credit as a talented guy, but he's not better than RJ. So the only guys you look at is Wiseman. And Edwards, like I just don't see the judging there. Now, look at what we got an NBA draft room. You got Sadiq Bey, Patrick Williams, Devin Vassell, who's starting to, you know, his stock is starting to rise on his intrigue as a player. Precious Achiuwa, Okorogin, Hayes, Haliburton. Like, this is crazy. It's just real crazy to look at, even from my home base. I'm like, wow. Unbelievable. And you know, I'm looking at certain prospects. Certain prospects I like, I'm looking at their move up. And is Sadiq Bey at 14. I think he's a top 10 guy. I don't believe in Patrick Williams yet. I don't believe in Devin Vassell like that. But Achiuwa, yes, he's the real deal. Okoro, good. Killian Hayes has always been good. I like Avdija. The more I see him, the more I like him. Jamius Ramsey is definitely one of my favorite in this class. Vernon Carey Jr. is going to he's going to be one of those guys. Like I don't see why he wouldn't be a lottery pick. But hey, you know, and a great comparison between Derek Coleman and Vin Baker by Mike Draftroom. Unbelievable comparison. Zeke Nnaji, I like him. I don't see his name right. I've seen this film and it kind of amazes me. Alexej Pokzevski, the Nets. So that would come from the Nets. Nesmith is very interesting. Very interesting. Kira Lewis, we'll see what happens with him. We'll see what happens with Kira Lewis Jr. He's a pretty good impact guy, but, you know, Daniel Arturo. Man, the only reason he's... I wish he would have stayed one more year before I could make an. But I think he's pretty good. I think he'll be a good player and productive for a long time in the league. He can start. Tyrese Maxey. Now, 24, you know why I'm a roll with that? I mean, everybody wants to put him in the lottery. I think 24 is just where you would put him. How do you judge RJ Hampton like you judge him, but you don't judge Tyrese Maxey? I don't get that. How do you judge RJ Hampton as this guy that cannot do this and that, but Tyrese Maxey, you look at his stats. I mean, he was with Kentucky. He got all the green light possible it took. if we talking about a couple of more points, you know, down a couple of more, if he came out, I mean, look at Khalil Whitney and the disappointment that he was with that team. But he shot 29% from three. He shot 42% from the field. Like, with the free throw percentages, what kept it there? His what? Like, I don't get that. I'm just trying to see what people are seeing from other guards that they don't see from RJ. And this is, I always have arguments, like Jalen Green's one prospect I roll with. I think Kumonga is unbelievably talented. I think Bates is unbelievable. I think Baldwin is great. I think Chet Holmgren is great. I think Michael Foster is underrated. I think Johnny Juzang and Keon Brooks and CJ Walker are guys that I always had love for. I think those guys are going to be NBA guys. I just think some things are just crazy. Now, let's look at who I think the draft will go. Now, without trades, I mean, everybody's going to be up for trades. And I'm not going to sit here and try to judge trade. I'm not going to sit here and try to do that. I mean, you just don't know. It will be a fun game, but it's just realistically, we got to go with what's here. The Warriors could trade easily, but if they don't, it's Wiseman. I don't think it's Anthony Edwards. I mean, it just makes no sense. You go for Wiggins, you give Anthony Edwards. What are you doing with Clay? Somebody's getting traded. From the start, that now that's what I think. If they don't get James Wiseman, somebody's getting traded on their team. The Cavs definitely get. If you look at what they got and who they would go for, why wouldn't you go for Anthony Edwards? I mean, you've already, he can play small forward. You know, you get a Kevin Porter, you got a Colin Sexton, you got a Darius Garland, and you get an Anthony Edwards with Colin Sexton and Garland. That's whew. And Porter come off the bench. That's what will happen. No question. So I think he's there. Now the T-Wolves, Onyeka Okongwu, what the? If you look at T-Wolves need R.J. Hampton. You know, if it's not R.J. Hampton, then it's only the other one guy. It's Cole Anthony. That's the pick. Cole Anthony with D'Angelo Russell at the two guard would make them, with a big man, would make them a complete team or would make them almost playoff bound in the future. If not that year, it'll be the next year. Because Cole Anthony come in right away, be a playoff point guard. Number four, there's so many different ways they can go when it comes to these teams. I don't think, could RJ be their guy with this team? If you're looking for the Hawks on this particular, I think Obi Toppin is good as anybody you can really go for. I really do. I think Obi Toppin is as good as anybody you can go for right now. You can think about Onyeka Okongwu, but if you're not getting Obi Toppin at this position, I don't know what you're doing. I think Obi Toppin is the pick. The Pistons, if you're looking at the Pistons, you're looking at who can get what the Pistons need, RJ Hampton would be it. Listen, RJ Hampton is perfect for the Pistons. And this is the big reason why you would really make a move in that realm, because if you look at Derrick Rose and where he's at with that team, you look at Blake Griffin, you look at all these guys, right? I don't think there's the 15.8 points a game Kennard had is big. You're gonna want that shooter in there, but who's gonna be your point guard? And you look at Rose, you look at where he's at and what he's doing. That could be he's the future guy on their team. RJ will come right off the bench, and might even start. But it's good for RJ to be right there next to Rose, to take over for Rose. He would be Detroit. Detroit needs a star, and RJ would be a star. It's no question. RJ would be a star. That is the perfect team for him. Detroit has no revamping. And then you got, and when you go down here, you look at also the next pick, number six. And I think that's LaMelo Ball will go to the Knicks. I just think he would go to the Knicks. That's it. That's where LaMelo goes, to the Knicks. Knicks need a point guard. They've been asking for one. They've been looking for one. You put him with R.J. Barrett. That's a pretty good young combination to roll with. Pretty good young combination to roll with. You go to the Bulls. The Bulls is just a different story than where you're going to go. I think when you're talking about Onyeka Okongwu is the guy you would really go for in that situation. I think to get him more size, Bulls need more size. They got enough guard. They got enough penetrators. You go for a guy like that. Look at the Hornets. Hayes is perfect. NBA draft from said Hayes, I go with Hayes. I think Hayes is a real good player. Ever since Kemba left, they need that guard. The Wizards, why not Okoro? I think Okoro is a good pick. Very good pick. Skilled player, can play. It's either him or Avdija. And that could be I like Okoro, but I think Avdija might be the pick there. I think he just has a lot he can do, man. Like, that cat has a lot he can do. I think Avdija is that guy. Okoro and the Suns, I don't see that happening. But it could. You got a Michael Bridges. Like, what would you go there for? A lot of people like Okoro, and I'm telling you right now, they like him in the top 10. Some people like him in the top 5. So that's why I say we go with RJ as the Pistons go. This is who they should get. But if you look at it, the Pistons might go ahead and go for Okoro. I think that's where Okoro ends up. But RJ is perfect with the Pistons. Perfect. And we're trying to really... I'm putting guys who should be there. But Okoro, remember, listen, this is not predictions who I think might get. That's not going to happen yet. This is what should happen. This is what definitely should happen. And if we go all the way down to the Suns, Okoro with the Suns, they've been getting defensive players. Okoro is 6'6", 225. We got Michael Bridges. I mean, where would you go? And I think that could be a big, big play there. But I don't think Okoro goes there. I don't think that would be the pick that they go for. I think they could get Precious Achiuwa, just like Draft One said. That could be that's the big pick. Precious Achiuwa. And I think the Suns and the Spurs end up getting Okoro. I think that happens. I think that should be where Okoro falls. He's a good player. I mean, he has all the skills. But if you look at what teams need, going by team needs, and, you know, this is before trades, anything. Team needs, I think the Okoro with the Suns, the Evolve with Lonnie Walker and so many young guys, Keldon Johnson, would make that a good team. Jacob Poto, I think that would make that a good team. You need that. You got DeRozan and Aldridge getting older. You need a guy like Okoro with his talent. He would really blossom with Lonnie Walker and Devontae Murray and guys like that. The Kings, when you look at the Kings, where would you go? Would it be a point guard? No. But Kings definitely need scores. So I think Sadiq Bey would be that pick. Sadiq Bey would be where, you know, he would end up there. The Pelicans. Pelicans, they're looking at a lot of things right now. Where would you go for? I think Devin Vassell was that guy. He's a scorer, and in the extra score, he'll be that guy. And the Blazers' outlook, if you're looking at the Blazers and what they could do, if Patrick Williams is that type of guy, then it would be nobody else to try on somebody's potential than the Portland Trail Blazers. I think Patrick Williams be perfect there to try to, you know, they got Anthony Simons. The guys, they always try to develop real good, talented guys, and I think that would be a big thing there. The Magic, Halliburton, that he's perfect there. That's where Halliburton will go. Halliburton will go there. Jamius Ramsey is another guy that could end up with the T-Wolves. But if you look at the T-Wolves do need some size, need some wings. I think Vernon Carey Jr. is that guy. You get another Duke guy in there, he would be with the T-Wolves. The Celtics, they always try hard and reach. Why not get a guy like Ramsey, but if you're looking at it, you need a big guy. So I think Zeke Najee is that guy that you go for. Or they could even go for, like I said, Pozefsky, if I say that right. He's a 7-footer with, you know, size. If he's able, the thing is he going to play this year? Will they wait for him? Those are two guys that they could go for. So I say I go with him because Boston always tries those type of guys. The Nets always need size. But if you're looking at guys that can play, you're looking at Denver, I think Theo Melodyne ends up getting drafted. That would be the spot where Theo would be. The Nuggets. Look at the Nuggets. Jamius Ramsey gets you another wing. Seems real big, real good right there. The 76ers. This is interesting because the 76ers, you know, they have some need. They get shooting. They can get some shooting. They can get a point guard. They can get a... But to me, they need a big guy, you know? So, there's some good guys on this floor. And I think Daniel Oturu would be that guy. I think you get a guy at 6'10", 240 that can do what he do. Put him on that team. Let him develop. There's two guys I like. I like Jalen Smith and I like Daniel Oturu. And I also like Jaden McDaniels for the Sixers right now. You got to get some big guys that can score and play. And who would I want at that position? I say Daniel Oturu, but it's three guys really I want to break down what the Sixers would get. And if I go to the Sixers pick, if I'm talking about pure talent, it would be Jaden McDaniels. I would definitely get Jaden McDaniels with the 22nd pick. He's just so talented. Very talented guy. You would not regret getting a guy like that and developing him to be a player. Get some vets around him. See Ben Simmons and Embiid around him. Be big. The Heat, I mean, Oturu will be it. They need a guy with size. But it could be Zeke Najee in that remark. So those are two guys. I think they would get Zeke Najee in that one. That would be a good pick. 6'11", can do his thing. The Jazz... Great pick, Tyrese Maxey. That is just the perfect part for him. Jazz, we'll deal with Donovan Mitchell. Let him play the point. Could be a shooting guard. But let him play the point. Either way, he'd be a good scorer for the Jazz. Somebody that could really, really do some damage. I think he can be a good point guard, no question. The Thunder. And they say Josh Green. They could get him, but I'm looking at the Thunder, and Josh Green is real talented. Like, so I'm a rock with that one. I just think that's a good point. That's a good shooting guard to get. The Celtics, Jalen Smith, can I lock down that one? They definitely need the size. If Jalen Smith is there, that is an unbelievable pick, and I'm a rock with it. 27, the Knicks. The Knicks, I think the Knicks... Possibly. I mean, I think Cassius Stanley is it. You need guys like you got, you know what I said about Halliburton. You need another guy that can stretch the floor, and I think that's the one guy that can do it. The Raptors. Looking at the Raptors and where they're at right now and the type of team they are, I got to be honest. I mean, Nico Mannion is a guy, not Nico Mannion, but Jordan Nwora is a guy that they can definitely, he's experienced, he can make things happen. I think it's him. I think that's the guy you go for. Then you say the Lakers. Now that's crazy. The Lakers at 29, and who do you get? Who do you get at that position at 29? There's so many good players, and I think the Lakers should definitely get Nico Mannion. That would be so crazy for them to get a guy. Now, he's going to be a good player. All-star, borderline. I think he could be an all-star, though. I just don't think he's not there. Nico Mannion should go to the Lakers with that pick. If he's there, you get Nico Mannion. Isaiah Stewart is another guy, and I think, period, point blank, the Celtics make that move. Isaiah Stewart, still at 30, another guy who had a great season. And that's my top 30. That's my first round draft picks. I just think if guys are in these positions and there's no trades, this is what they should go for. No question. These are the guys that should be drafted. And it's big. It's big to look at where guys could fall. People come to me and the Pistons and R.J. Hampton. Why I say the Pistons with R.J. Hampton? Because Derrick Rose is eventually almost out of there. And you're going to have a guy like Luke Kennard who's going to play shooting guard. And R.J. could make him so they could be a very deadly backcourt for the future. I just think that's happening. Knicks, LaMelo, hey. The Knicks and LaMelo. That would be perfect en route for LaMelo. Perfect. I just think it's a lot of good. It's some interesting players in this draft. What makes this draft weak is that a lot of guys are incomplete. I mean, if RJ not being the way they're looking at him is crazy. It's what takes away from this draft. Josh Green and Nico Mannion. But, you know, they had some struggling times, I understand people. But to look at talent like you look at Art, like you look at LaMelo, like you look at Anthony Edwards, who you see the talent, but he also had some struggling times. We talk about Anthony Edwards. He's a definitely elite player. He's definitely going to be an all-star. I think he is. I think he's an all-star type player. Who's he remind me of? J.R. Ryder. That's who Anthony Edwards reminds me of, J.R. Ryder. And you're like, oh, I can remind you of J.R. Ryder. Well, I need you to go look at J.R. Ryder in college, high school. J.R. Ryder, are you crazy? In the pros, he shot 40% from the field and 29% from three. Edwards did. This is the guy y'all called number one, but y'all steady clown R.J. because he didn't play 33 minutes. We're talking about y'all top guys, Edwards and LaMelo, but you can't put R.J. there because he didn't play 30 minutes and get them and shoot the ball. You know what? I always wondered. I want to ask, did R.J. feel I should have just went to college? I'd have been number one overall. Hell, y'all just messing up R.J. bag. How are these guys rated over R.J.? And the only reason they're making their points is because of their minutes. LaMelo playing 31 minutes. Anthony playing 33 minutes. It's crazy. You look at Cole Anthony, and we're almost out of here. You know what I mean? We're almost out of here. Talk a lot of draft talk. I get caught up. This is my thing here. Draft is my thing. Anybody know the NBA draft? Drafts are it for me. Now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the stats of Anthony. 18.5, 5.7, 4.0. He shot 38% from the field and 34. He shot better from 3-point line than they did. He still shot 75. Why is he rated so low? When his impact when he came in was better than any of them. When he first stepped on the college floor, it was better than anybody that's on this draft right now. His impact. R.J. Hampton's impact before he stepped on the college floor was better than anybody. Before he stepped on a New Zealand basketball court, was better than anybody in this draft. But yet he got the less time as anybody. So how do y'all not judge that like, boy, if he had the time? So y'all lose faith that quick? Y'all lose faith that quick in actual facts? Y'all forget who he was that quick? That's crazy. Listen, who is my number one prospect? It's Cole Anthony. Number two is R.J. Hampton. Now, I did my I went over film tape. I've looked over game tape. I've looked at stats. I've looked at minutes. I've looked at who got the ball. I've looked at clutch situations. I have been analyzing things for a long time. And R.J. Hampton is the number two best prospect in this draft. It's not even like Anthony Edwards is number three, Wiseman's number four, and Ball is number five. This is unbelievable that any of y'all looking at these guys and looking at how they play. LaMelo got a chance to run around with the ball and do all types of magic tricks. He had 31 minutes. But let's go back to high school ball. LaMelo and RJ, who was better in high school ball? Okay, so did they play the same minutes then? Did they get the same? Let's compare it. Go back. Look at the games they played. Look at how many minutes they played. Look at how many times did they touch the ball. But now look, when the pro college, when they get to the pro level, y'all want to now still judge them the same. But it's to me, it's just unfair. But I'm out of here, y'all. This is Follow the Leader, This is Leader Johnson. Don't follow Leader Man. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I'm out of here, y'all. NBA Draft Talk, Recruiting Talk, out of here.